punk and the schooner, no one is punk. Can the schooner, no one is punk and the schooner, no one is punk and the schooner.
Goodness me, show number 43 of Noise Punk and Das Kooner. I am Das Kooner. Gene, who in God's name are you?
Yo, I'm Noise Punk, yo. Welcome to show number 43. What's up?
What?
I don't know. We've been drinking, but not
you,
that much.
You have been drinking.
Yeah. We have a very special guest today.
We always say that. Nothing
but
personal.
But today, I really mean it because I've been drinking.
Well,
usually,
right,
I don't mean it because I'm sober. Now I'm drinking.
All right.
And here comes a guest on a train, and her name is...
Joelle Wallach, welcome to our program.
Oh, thank you. I haven't been drinking. I got here too late.
Yes.
Joelle is a composer.
Actually, she came early for the record, but anyway, go ahead.
Composer. What else do you do? You play an instrument?
I have cats.
She has cats. Ooh. Feline enthusiast.
I'm a feline enthusiast, yes.
You like how I come out with
that? Segway!
Joelle was nice enough to join us, and... she said she brought us some music and brought up pictures of her cats. And now is the time when Charles Coleman, the crooner, as you know, will ask his favorite question, his famous question, to Joelle.
Well, in this case, obvious question. What got you started? What, Gene? Is that one of those sound effects that only dogs can hear? Is that your brain talking? Anyway.
That's the question.
What got you started in your endeavor in the composition world?
I was always composing a little, but I never thought of it as really composing, because when I was a girl, all composers that I knew were dead European men. And so it didn't really occur to me that that was what I was doing.
Mm.
I just thought I was playing around, and I was serious about playing, but I didn't think I was serious about composing, because I had never given that name to what I was doing.
Ooh, that's deep.
Yo, deep.
What's with the yo, dude?
I don't know. I'm drunk.
No, he's not.
But you're right. I mean, the dead white males. But now it's a little different.
It's really different.
Well, when did
now?
You start composing? How old were you?
If you called it composing, I only started calling it composing in college.
Oh, okay.
And even then, when people said to me, "What do you do?" I would say, "I write music." I wouldn't say composing, because composing just sounded so pretentious.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretentious, eh? I like that.
I'll say. Yeah.
I like that.
Anyway, no, but I mean that's it's you didn't call it composing before you went to college. Is that when you? I mean, even though you wrote music like everything else, is that you felt more secure with it when you were dealing with teachers, perhaps when you were in college?
No, they gave it a name. I still never occurred to me that that was what I was doing.
Yeah, actually, I read your bio. You went to Manhattan School of Music, correct?
Yes,
you did.
Yeah.
So did I.
So did we. We both did.
When were you there?
We were there approximately... Well, I was there from 87 to 93.
Oh, you were there after me. I left in 84.
Ah.
I left in 94.
And,
that's the low.
All right. So, obviously, you know Miss Eulala and the whole Mr. Tannenbaum.
Who just said it?
Yes, the whole group. John Corigliano.
Oh. He was there. Oh. I think as we came in, he left.
Yeah. I think that was it.
Yeah. But I had a soft...
They didn't have a causal relationship.
They didn't have a good relationship.
No. Causal. Like, causal? When you came in, he left?
Yeah. No, because I called him an asshole.
It wasn't a consequence.
No, I called him an asshole. He left. No.
There you go.
Right. Of course he left. The truth is, and I don't care if he's listening, he gave us, we had these freshman seminars. When you're freshman, you come in and you get to have all the composers come, all the teachers come, and he was kind of a little bit of a dick. That's all I got. It's a little bit of a dick. No, he came in. He was writing his like this opera, which wasn't a bad opera.
Ghost of Versailles.
Saw the premiere. It wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. But he came there, and he was all the other teachers came. They wanted to hear what we're doing. They talked to us, and he came in, brought us in the score with his Ghost of Versailles, this and this, and we're like, and me and my friend Louis, we went to two, and we actually played Hook in the last suit. Like, I don't care about this motherfucker's Ghost of Versailles. The fuck is this guy? You know, I waited from outside, I kicked his fucking ass. No, that's not what I did.
This skit was written by Gene Pritzker, a.k.a. Toys. All right. Anyway.
Well, I mean, he was your primary teacher the whole time?
He was.
Oh, sorry. No. I mean, sorry.
I happen to like John.
No. I mean, sorry for making fun of him. That's sorry.
No.
My teacher was Gianpaolo Bracale. Yeah,
I loved
Gian Paolo. Oh,
yeah. I studied orchestration with him.
We all did.
He was a wonderful man and a wonderful composer, and a wonderful teacher. A really generous teacher. He had a lot of generosity of spirit. Right. Lovely man.
He had an instinctive knowledge of everything. He didn't have to. He was also probably one of the few people in the world that can play any orchestral score off the piano, if I'm not mistaken.
He was amazing. He was amazing and very uncelebrated, unfortunately.
Yes.
Even
and
at
he
the
had
school.
Great music. Yeah, even in the school.
Even at the school.
Well, let's see what Mr. Curtiliano taught you.
What would you like us to hear?
I'm not gonna go there.
Oh, ooh, segue. What would you like to play
Perhaps
for?
Perhaps something big, something fanfare.
You would like to hear something big.
Big, something start off the show. Bang, I tell you.
Okay. Here's a piece that starts with a big bang.
A big bang.
Now what is this?
This is a piece called The Tiger's Tail, because it's about that expression, to catch a tiger by the tail. It's about how an idea sort of whips you around, and sometimes slower and sometimes faster, and has its own kind of momentum. So that's why it's called the tiger.
Sounds like my ex-wife. Anyway.
Can't say that on the show.
Well, she
might listen to the show.
I'm joking, Jad. You're the best in the world. I love you. But anyway.
He crossed his fingers. I saw him.
Anyway,
it's fine. If it reminds you of your ex-wife, that's, you know, it's not a music appreciation class.
We're still buddies. Anyway. Oh. The Tiger's Trail by our guest, Joanne Wallach, here on
Joelle Wallach.
Oh. Why
you call Joanne?
Because I'm an idiot.
And I'm obscure.
Obscure? Oh. Ooh, no. By Joelle Wallach, our guest here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner. The Tiger's Tale by our guest Joel Wallach here on Noise, Punk, and Das Crooner. I like how it ends in that F sharp, and it looks like it's going somewhere, and it just fades away. Very effective piece.
Thank you.
What happened to the tiger?
He went to sleep.
Ba-dum-bum!
You killed him.
You killed him. Admit that.
He's very He's much narrower at the tail than at the teeth.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Yeah, it was a tritone. What of it?
Do you have any music with choruses?
Oh, yes. And an even one.
And a baritone solo.
Yes, and a baritone solo. This is the third movement from a piece that I wrote for the New York Choral Society. It has an orchestra, a chorus, and four soloists. And we're just going to hear the beginning of the third movement because we're going to hear the baritone solo, which is about wife beating.
Yeah. Yay, wife beating.
Sorry, go ahead.
It continues with Vietnamese children immolating themselves at street corners. It's actually a serious piece about world peace and so on.
This is great. Sorry, we're just laughing. Children immolating themselves. Anyway, sorry. That was just bad, Gene.
I apologize. I'm going to stop playing with my...
Which is that, the noise, the funk, or the crooner?
That was the noise punk. Sorry.
Sorry. Name. So this is the third movement?
This is the third movement of Toward a Time of Renewal.
Toward a Time of Renewal by our guest Joel Wallach here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner.
It also begins with a big bang.
Hell yeah! Excerpt from The Batterers, the third movement of a work entitled Toward a Time of Renewal by our guest Joel Wallach here on Noise Punk and Das Crooner. You want to hear the whole thing? Well, why don't you conductors out there conduct the whole thing? What do you say? Anyway.
Good idea.
Yeah.
It'll be a challenge.
We wanted to give you a little nibble rather than the whole feast just to make you hunger for it. Come on, admit it. Anyway. Now before we go on to the next piece, we were talking a little while we were listening. One of the things you do is you do pre-concert lectures with the New York Philharmonic. How is that like?
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing to do. The audience is always people who are very enthusiastic about coming to a concert because they're spending another hour during which they're not eating at dinner time
right.
to come listen to me and eat pretzels.
So there's pretzels at these things?
There's pretzels at these things, and also a Snapple and other sorts of water, Snapple, occasionally juice.
These are selling points.
But it's very nice. Many different kinds of people come, people who have never been to an orchestra concert before and people who are extremely sophisticated about the music. So the challenge is to make everybody feel welcome and everybody feel that they have learned something about the music but not gotten lost in it, to make everyone feel welcome.
Now, is this, in general, any piece you're doing, or are you specifically more involved in the, say, the new works that are not so well known?
Oh, no. I'm involved in a combination of whatever is on the program, and that's the other challenge. The other challenge is to link the pieces in some way, to give people a way into all of the pieces.
Yeah.
Without giving them too much factual stuff to absorb in, you know, a half an hour.
That's actually interesting.
Mozart and Mahler both had names that started with M. Does the symphonies...
Mozart and Mahler had this...
Does the symphonies are connected at the core of their being.
Well, they were also born in Austria. Hello. They're both from Austria.
Silence. I know how to connect.
No, I know. It's funny. Conductors generally have a concept, but they can't seem to put into words why they put together, and that's where you come in, I guess, when you do the pre-concert lecture, perhaps?
I think a lot of it has to do with how many people are contracted to play that concert also.
Ah, okay.
Some of these things are very practical decisions, and then I think generally they want a Baroque piece and a Romantic piece and a classical piece or a concerto with two shorter pieces or various different aspects of the choice go to make up a program.
A few years ago, a piece of mine was done by the San Francisco Symphony, and I snuck into the pre-concert lecture because I wanted to hear the guy talk about me.
Oh, how wonderful. What was that experience like?
It was good. I mean, he was all complimentary, and he put into words roughly what the piece was about, and it was funny to be talked about as if I were a famous dead guy. But
oh, that's really wonderful.
It would have been
I've
great
always
if you
wanted
were
to be a
famous
dead guy.
It'd be great if I really were a famous dead guy. You think you're funny.
Just dead.
You're just dead. All right. Segway.
Now how about songs?
How about some songs? What do you have for us?
These are two tiny little love songs for tenor and piano. Well, actually, they're for tenor and chamber orchestra, but I've never had a chamber orchestra play this piece. So this is
Use
a piano reduction of a piece of two tiny love songs, which are a little tiny cycle called The Night Watch.
Right.
And the first of the two is called Assurance, and the second one is called The Night Watch.
Okay. Who are the performers involved?
Wonderful, wonderful young tenor called Sam McKelton, and a wonderful pianist that many singers in New York know called Elizabeth Rogers.
I know the name.
She's wonderful. She can make a piano sound like an orchestra.
Wonderful, yes. So maybe while Gene and I are listening to it, we will determine what the orchestrated version will be. What when we hear the melody on top, we'll debate whether it's a flute or an oboe. We will talk during the, and we'll see if we got most of our scores right.
Oh, and you can hear then the first piece that most of the orchestration actually is little tiny percussion sounds.
Mm-hmm. There you go. The Night Watch.
That's what Charles has in his head.
You know, I have just, whatever. The Night Watch. By Joanne Wallach.
Joelle
Wallach. I'm doing it.
Son of a...
Oh! Ow, Gene!
Sorry.
Come on, man.
I have to shoot him.
Lighten up. Joelle Wallach. If I say Joanne again, then you both have permission to beat me up, or if you... Now, stop!
Looking for my punch.
The Night Watch by Joelle Wallach here on Noise Punk and Dust. Crooner!
Says its names.
The Night Watch. Two songs.
Lovely.
Assurance and The Night Watch. That was Sam McKelton, the tenor, and Elizabeth Rogers on piano. Music of Joel Wallach, our guest here on Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner.
Is the pianist related to Buck?
I don't think so. But not Roy either.
Not Roy either?
I got it.
All right.
Very nice talking to you. Yeah. Pleasant conversation.
Yes.
Sorry, I keep doing this thing. I'll stop.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you have a thing for clarinet and, was it orchestra or string?
Chamber orchestra and clarinet.
Tell us about it.
This is a piece I wrote. It's a piece in honor of my grandmother. It's called In Memory, the Heart Still Sings, which is something she said while she was dying, which I thought was really very wise and touching and evocative of her for me. Mm-hmm. And it's about something that interests me about orchestras, which is how differently you think about the same thing if you're thinking about it to yourself, or you're speaking to a large number of people the way an orchestra is, or only a few people the way a sort of chamber ensemble of a few instruments are. So you hear the piece begins with the clarinet with just a few instruments, then there are parts with large number of instruments playing, and then there are cadenza, solo places that feel improvisatory but are completely written out for the clarinet, in which he takes the same material and it's much more introspective.
Interesting. Interesting way to put it. Hmm. Yes.
Well, let's check it out.
Yeah. Name of the piece again, once again.
In Memory, the Heart Still Sings.
By our guest, Joel Wallach.
Said it right.
Yeah, I'm still getting it. If I say Joanne again, you may feel free to point that out and beat me over the head. Not you, Gene. Only Joel can do that. Here on Noise, Punk, and Dust Crooner. Yes, that middle G doesn't go down to the F sharp. You think it's going to be a D major chord, but no, it's a sustained thing there. Music of Joel Wallach here on Noise, Punk, and Dusker. Who were the performers involved in that piece?
That was the Women's Philharmonic and a wonderful conductor called Yahweh Wang, whom I simply can't find anywhere in the world. If you're listening to this, Yahweh Wang, please contact me immediately. Yeah, you are so wonderful.
And all other living composers, for that matter.
Yes, yes.
Call every living composer.
Who was the clarinet soloist?
Laurel Hall, who it was the first clarinet in the Women's Philharmonic, which has been disbanded, unfortunately.
Bummer.
Why? What happened?
What happened?
No money. That's what happens in music.
Yeah. Hello.
I thought it was women's problem.
You know. No, it's not what you think, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very subtle joke. It doesn't mean anything. Anyway. And that sound effect came out for no reason whatsoever here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
What are we going to hear next?
Yeah, oh, there you go.
What about, we were talking while we were listening to Charles.
We were talking about Ponticello.
Why you got to interrupt me?
Because
the fuck you got to interrupt me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Charles says he doesn't know how to spell Sil Ponticello.
I didn't say that.
You said that, right? Right,
no,
Charles?
No.
Right? He said he couldn't spell it and he never puts it in the score.
No, I didn't say I'd spell it. I just sometimes don't be so, I'm not so specific. Is that my brain talking?
That's your brain trying to get
No, out. I was talking about the fact that I try not to be too specific. I've written Sul Ponticello in a couple of pieces.
Have you spelled it right?
Yes, of course I spelled it right. But I try not to be too specific because I like the spontaneity of certain Ponticello-isms coming out so that because it shows how into the player is playing.
You're retarded.
But we had a conversation.
Anyway, Joelle said that I have a piece with Sul Ponticello.
Yes, at the beginning, this is a ballet that I wrote for the Carlisle Project some years ago. A wonderful project that commissioned several ballets. And this is a performance at Juilliard. And this, in here, you'll hear the same melody that begins the piece is then played Ponticello. It's very mysterious. When I wrote this score, I wrote it so it could be a ballet, but also a straight chamber piece. And that's what you'll hear now. It's a chamber octet.
Yeah, we should specify the people out there who are listening who are not musicians.
There's nobody out there who's listening who's not a musician.
How do you know? Ponticello refers to the bow playing close to the bridge to get this eerie effect to
it's
come
like
across.
Glass. It's very glassy.
Yes.
And
the nastiest glass ever.
This is an octet, but it's for strange instruments together. It's for violin, viola, cello, and bass, and piano, and two percussionists, and one saxophone player playing three different saxophones, but not at the same time.
Why not at the same time?
I couldn't find one with a big enough mouth.
Yeah, you know.
You should have called Charles.
No, that's not a subtle innuendo joke there. Anyway, right. Name of the piece.
It's so nice doing this because it makes me feel so demure.
Oh. the name of the piece.
Glancing Below.
Why you gonna demand
now, this? We can make a... There goes another innuendo here. Glancing Below by our guest, Joelle Wallach. What? Here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
I was just glancing below, Charles.
As you should.
XYZ. Okay, here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, between D, F sharp, A flat, and then ultimately at the C at the end. Mr. Middle C, as we call him. Music of Joel Wallach here on Noise Punk and Das Kooner. That was called Glancing Down, featuring...
No, no, Glancing Below.
Below, well...
Charles, get the names of the pieces right.
Anyway. Anyway, why are you whining like a baby for?
All right. That feels good.
Yeah.
What do you want to play? A couple more?
Yes, a couple more, definitely.
Okay, here's a very small piece. This is a piece that sounds like an Irish folk song that I wrote with the firemen after 9/11.
Oh.
It's called The Firefighter's Prayer. The text is a traditional prayer that they used to have on their trucks, but after 9/11 they took it off all the trucks, and you'll hear why.
Oh, interesting.
I want to know why.
Okay. And you said this is an Irish influenced.
Oh, yes. It sounds like an Irish folk song.
Well, we'll see about that.
Uh-huh.
The Firefighter's Prayer by our guest, Joel Wallach. This is the, this is once again the tenor Sam McKelton and pianist Elizabeth Rogers here on Noise Punk and Das Kooner.
Thank you.
The Firefighter's Prayer by Joel Wallach, our guest here on Noise Punk and Das Kooner. Sam McKelton is the tenor, along with Elizabeth Rogers at the piano. Very beautiful performance.
Very beautiful. What was it? What is they took off? Why was it offensive? Or was it offensive after 9/11?
No, because it really talked about what would happen if they were killed, and so many in that firehouse happened to be killed.
Oh, so they had
and
to,
you know, leaving a lot of wives and children.
Yeah.
On that happy note,
Charles, it's not a happy note.
Right.
Stupid.
He's right. Hey. Wake up. Want some coffee?
I don't know. I'm really tired these days.
Yeah. It's because you're working so hard.
How you doing? What do we got?
And we have our final piece. You have a piece called Therefore for a cappella voices.
Yes. This Acapulco. Is a piece about making the best of an imperfect world and contributing to it in whatever way.
We composers can identify with that.
Right. I'm trying to make worst of a perfect world.
Okay, and this is the New York Virtuoso Singers with Harold Rosenbaum.
Here on Noise Punk and Das Kooner.
Nothing exists that is not mine. Oh.
And it is indeed appropriate that we end on an applauding note.
Indeed.
Therefore, by our guest, indubitably. Therefore, for a cappella choir featuring our written by our guest, Joelle Wallach. Hey, I didn't say Joanne a third time. No, anyway, here on Noise Punk and Dust Crooner.
Embarrassing to be around you.
Yeah, of course it is. Have you looked in the mirror lately?
Joelle, anyway, thank you very much.
Thank
for
you very
being
much
here.
For coming here.
What? Really a pleasure and really fun.
Wonderful. What do you have? What other? What you're right. What are you writing now? What's your plan?
I've just finished writing a piano quartet for the James Quartet, and they're going to play it with a whole bunch of other chamber music of mine in Virginia first next January. They're playing also a piece I like very much of mine, a set of songs for viola, piano, and mezzo.
Ah. Now, you say very much, are you saying that there are pieces of yours you don't like?
Those pieces no one ever gets to hear.
Very good. Yeah. For most composers, it's usually the first half of whatever amount of works that usually the first half of whatever we've written
we
don't
like. I like everything I wrote.
I know you love everything you wrote. Well, whatever. Anyway.
Hey!
Yeah. Thank you, Joelle. It's been a pleasure.
It's been
really
a pleasure.
Has. Thank you both very much.
And, oh, is that what I think it is?
That is the theme music.
And until next time, noise to you!
Noise punk and the schooner. Noise punk. And the schooner. Noise punk and the schooner.